we haven't long passed Trinity Sunday, and I wanted to tell you how I came into an intimate knowledge of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, each one separately. Going right back, I grew up in a family with my brother, and we had what you'd call a distant father. He never showed any affection towards me. I don't ever remember sitting on his lap or anything like that, and he was a strict authority figure. And I was really happy when he had to go away to work. And there was just Mum and my brother and myself. Now, I realise I can't blame him for his behaviour, because his father, when he was a baby, was killed in the First World War, and his mother died when he was eight. So he had no role model or no life, really. So I came to now I'm grown up, I came to terms with that, but as a child you don't understand that. And we went to a congregational church in my teenage years, right up till in the sixth form, and then when I went off to university, to Leeds, to read physics. And that's where I met Alex. For those of you who don't know Alex, he's my husband. And when I got to Leeds, it's not like a single room in those days. This was 1959. We were in a big hall, and there were four girls in the room altogether. And I used to observe this one girl and realised that she had something that I didn't have. And one day she said to me, "Would you like to come to a guest service at St George's Church in Leeds?" And so I said yes, and I went. And it was a life-changing night for me, because I can even remember what the vicar said. He was speaking on, I stand at the door and knock, and if anybody opens the door, I'll come in and meet with him. And at the end of his sermon, he called anybody, and there were loads of students there, he called any of us to come out to the altar rail at the front if we wanted to commit our lives to the Lord Jesus. And that's what he did. And I was very impressed, because he went along everybody individually and prayed with them as they committed their lives to the Lord. So that's how I found Jesus as my Saviour. There was no talk in those days of the Holy Spirit. David Watson appeared in the 1960s, but before that, there wasn't much going on at all. And so I plodded on, really, for the next 30 years, I think it was about, with really what I would call not much knowledge of God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. And in 1969, we moved to the Royal Naval Boarding School near Ipswich. And Alex got a job as head of physics there. And I was pregnant at the time with our second child. And I made a decision to have the baby at home. And he was a full-time baby. And the doctor who was with me couldn't get him to breathe. His heart was beating and he couldn't get him to breathe. And he called the flying squad, and they took 45 minutes to get out to us. They got stuck in the traffic in Ipswich, and of course by that time it was too late. And I never was never allowed to hold him. These days you take photographs and all sorts, but and they took him away. Always remember, they took him away in a cardboard box. And all that waiting and anticipating was over. And the reason I'm telling you all of this was because what I did was bury it inside myself. Okay, I stuffed it in down inside and I didn't grieve. And we were offered no help at all. And it was actually a terrible experience for Alex and me, because he was there as well at the same time. Now, we plodded on in the village church. It wasn't much good, but we felt we would stick at it. And one of the things, actually, when we were ordained from that church, I remember in the rector's notes, it said, they've stuck in this church, whether the vicar suited them or whatever, they've always stuck in and gone, carried on and on. So, and we did pray for 19 years that we'd have a good vicar. And anyway, after this 19 years, this new rector, it was a rector, not a vicar, rector arrived, and we realised he was different. And at his first annual general meeting, which was about a month after he arrived at the church, he said to the church, to the meeting, "I've brought a word from the Lord." Well, Alex and I really were pretty ignorant of things to do with anything like this. I'd never heard a word from the Lord. I've got it stuck inside my Bible here, and this is what it said. "My children, now is the springtime of your years. The days of corruption and death are over. Take my hand and walk with me through the fields filled to abundance with my fruits. Your pain and suffering has been my pain. Let me now bring healing to your hurt minds and hearts. Let my joy be your joy, my life be your life. My truth lead you into all truth. Come, take my hand and know me for who I am. Let my touch assure you of my love for you, a love that will never die." Well, that hit me like a thunderbolt. I couldn't stop reading it, and even now, all these years ago, as I say, I've got it stuck in the Bible. And it obviously started things rumbling and stirring inside me. And this new rector formed two prayer groups in the church because we had two men in the church who had serious cancer. And he asked us if we'd join him to meet in these two houses each week to pray for these men. And it was right early on when we're having a cup of tea at the end of the meeting, this new rector turned to me and said, "Has something happened in your house?" Well, I didn't know this man very well at all, and I didn't actually answer him. I can really remember not saying anything. But the next day, I had to go and get the boys from school, and Ipswich School, and I couldn't stop crying. I was crying and crying and sobbing and sobbing, and I just didn't know what to do. I got the boys home. Alex was stuck on a cricket match somewhere in the school. So I just thought, in desperation, what am I going to do? And I rang the rectory. And his wife answered the phone, and I remember she said, "Come over, if you like." So I went over. I remember it was a Saturday afternoon. And I screamed at this lady, who I didn't know, "Don't leave me with him. Don't leave me with him on my own," you see. And I realise now this man, this new rector, was an authority figure for me. And I didn't, you know, I was scared of him. And anyway, we're in his study with his wife, and he asked the Holy Spirit to come, and he started to pray, and he said, "I'm going to take you on a journey." And I was crying, but I was following what he was saying, and he said, you're walking along a path, and he explained the path, and I won't do that because it'll take too long, but the path goes off into a wood. And I could follow everything he was saying, and this was using my imagination. And he said, "Ahead of you is a house." And I can distinctly remember saying to him all these years ago, "The lights are on in that house, I can see it." And he said to me, "Chris, you're going ahead of me." And anyway, he said, let's go in the house. And in the house was Jesus. This is, don't forget, all it, I'm not all in my imagination. I think it was, anyway. And he was holding my baby. And he said, here's your baby, hold it, you see. And I've never been able to hold this baby. And I was, of course, I was really distressed. And anyway, the rector then said, you've got to give him back to Jesus. So I had to do that. And then he said, we're leaving the house and we're going off out of the wood. And we there's a lake over there on the left-hand side. He said, go and have a swim. So I was really with this. I could do it, you know. I went off, had a swim. And he said, on the bank of the lake is a chest and it's full of lovely clothes. He said, when you get out, put some really nice clothes on. And he said, by the side of the chest is a table full of good things to eat, a table set before you with lovely things to eat. And then sit down. And so I did all this, and then I sat down. And he then said, Jesus is standing in front of you, Chris, and he's got something in his hand, and he wants to put it over your head. And he put it over my head, and he said, on it is a stone, and on that stone is written your name. Now that, for me, that was it, you see. That was what I'd call a eureka moment. I knew I was a child of God. I knew that God loved me. I knew that God knew my name. And it was just an absolutely fantastic moment for me. When I say it's a eureka moment, teaching physics, we used to have to teach Archimedes' principle. And good old Archimedes, when he got in the bath, he realised that the up thrust equaled the weight of water displaced, and if it doesn't, the ship sinks, you see. So this was a big breakthrough, and he then got out of the bath and ran down the street naked. Well, I didn't do that. But I did read in Colin Urquhart's book, that called When the Spirit Comes, that when he really discovered he was a child of God, like I had, he did run down the street shouting, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God. But I didn't do anything like that. Now, I had no idea what a prayer journey was at that point in time. You have to understand, this, all of this was completely new to me. And a few days later, I was woken up in the night, and I felt as if I was floating in something. And I can't really describe what I was floating in. You know, if you put something in jelly and it doesn't sink, it was a bit like that. I was just floating. And I realised later on, a few days later, when I'd spoken to the rector, that this was the love of God. I was just being drowned and covered with the love of God and upheld by him. Now, I picked my ears pricked up in Bewdock Church the other day because Geoffrey was preaching, and he said, the key to the Holy Spirit, the breakthrough to the Holy Spirit, or the key to the Holy Spirit, is understanding that you're a child of God and he loves you. And obviously that happened for me. That was the breakthrough point for me, knowing that I belonged to God and I was loved. And it's all to do with having a father who I didn't feel loved me. And that was my picture of God the Father, you see. A distant, authoritarian God. And I think there's a lot of people round with that picture of God. Now, at this point in time, I became so hungry for things, more things of God. Nothing could fill me up. I was just desperate for more, to try and satisfy my desires. And at this point, the rector took me and a friend to Woodbridge Church, which interestingly was the last church that we left, because we left the village church in the end. and we went to Woodbridge Church, but this is a long time ago, to hear David Pitches, who was the starter of New Wine, and this was in 1988, and New Wine started in 1989. And it was after David Pitches' talk, I also remember the rector saying, "Chris, you may find some things a bit strange at this meeting," not knowing what he was talking about. But after his talk, he asked the Holy Spirit to come, and the Holy Spirit fell on me, and I was glued to the chair. And when I came to get up, I was drunk, and I've never been drunk, but I just couldn't walk. And the rector and Barbara, who was with me, had to hold my arms either side to get me across Woodbridge to back to the car park. I was absolutely boiling hot. I can't tell you. I was really, really on fire. And on the way home in the car, the rector said, "Chris, you've had your own Pentecost." And after that, my spiritual life really changed dramatically. And at this prayer meeting for these two men that kept, this was going on all the time, I started to see things in my head. And I didn't know what they were. And I talked to the rector about them, and there were pictures, and I didn't know what to do with them. But he used them to pray for these two men who were ill. So that's what happened. All sorts of other things started to happen after this. But it was nearly 30 years after I became a Christian that I came to know God as my Father and the Holy Spirit. And it's a long time, and I don't know what I was doing in those 30 years. I mean, I was still alive, but... And just reflecting on this, I've realised now, I think the Christian life is a bit like living on a three-legged stool. You've got to have three legs to have it balanced. There's a lot of people who live the Christian life with only one leg on the stool, and it, you know, you're a bit like this. And then, or you can have two legs. And now I've got three legs, and I feel a bit more stable than what I was before. And just to finish, I realised in thinking all about this that in Suffolk I used to be called Chris. And when we first came here, Geoffrey said to me, "What do you want to be called?" And I said, "Christine." And I've been stuck with Christine ever since. So after tonight, can I have a new name and go back to Chris?